and welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
So in here, Tom and I are really delighted we've got our friend Rich Robinson with us today. Rich lives in Portie, and Rich is a really good friend to Tom and I. He's currently involved in discipling and coaching and, mentoring leaders, churches, movements over the whole world. So we're very privileged to have him here in our humble local church this morning. But Rich loves the local church. So I'm really delighted that he agreed to come and speak to us. So once a month, myself and a few of my friends who lead churches a bit like ours across Edinburgh, we sit on Rich's sofa. I normally have a large mug of decaf tea in my hand, and Rich helps us think about how we're leading with integrity and with intention. And I have to tell you that every time I spend time with Rich, I see a bigger picture of Jesus's kingdom, and I'm encouraged. So my prayer is that the same is true for you guys this morning, but no pressure, Rich. Just come and be yourself, because we would also love that. So we're going to pray for Rich, but we're also going to pray for ourselves, yeah, that we've got soft hearts to receive what God wants to speak to us through his scripture this morning as Rich opens up the Bible. So do you want to take a hand and place it over your heart? And then you could take the other hand and reach it out towards Rich. So we're going to pray for ourselves. We're going to pray for Rich. So we pray for ourselves, Lord, that you would give us soft hearts to your word this morning, to your challenge and to your encouragement. And we pray for Rich that there'd be real joy in sharing your good news, how the resurrection of Jesus sends us out into the world with purpose and with joy, to be good news to those around us. So, yeah, bless Rich. Give him confidence, clarity, an ability to hear you as he speaks. And we're so grateful. We say thank you for him making the time to come and be with us today. Bless him as he's with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Hannah. Great to be with you. Thank you for having me. It's going to be a good morning, hopefully. We shall see. So today, this is the Sunday after the Sunday that was. Easter Sunday is sort of one of the high points in the Christian calendar, isn't it? And then this is the Sunday after. So what we're going to hopefully do is look at a passage of scripture that actually happens on Resurrection Sunday, but is a different take. So we're going to look at the roads to Emmaus, which happened on the same day as Jesus' resurrection, but it gives us a little bit more of normal life. Rather than the high points of Easter Sunday and the resurrection, what we get here on the Emmaus Road is the reality of life. Dusty, disappointed, every day, frustrated. And how does Jesus come into that just as much as he comes into the high point of Easter? So Easter Sunday, last Sunday, I had the privilege to baptize my 17-year-old daughter, which was pretty cool. Yes, I was excited by it. I got to get in the tank. I got to be able to dunk her, pray for her. The first thing I was able to say, as your dad, I'm proud of you. I love you. Mirroring the words of the Heavenly Father over Jesus. And hearing her testimony, I heard about half of it through the blubbering tears and the sort of moment of like trying to hold my iPhone up while I was slightly shaking, going, oh my word. She talked about the highs and the lows of her relationship with Jesus. So she talked about these highs with the Send in Glasgow and every summer at Magnitude with hundreds and hundreds of other teenagers, youth group, and all the different sort of high experiences. But she also talked about the everyday. She talked about finding Jesus as she read her Bible every day, praying with us as parents every day, and these little Holy Spirit nudges to be more kind or more generous. And she talked about that highs and lows. And that's one of the things that we've done as a family. Throughout her life, around the dinner table, we've talked about what's your high, what's your low of the day. When we pray in the morning, we do one thing you're thankful for, one thing we pray for. And in that highs and lows, that's going to hopefully set the scene for our Emmaus passage. So before we look at the Bible, what I would love you to do is turn to the person next to you. So just quickly turn to them, smile. You might know them really well. You might be terrified of them. Who knows? We shall see. And what I'd love you to do is just for a couple of minutes. So if you don't like these moments, just ask the other person to go first and smile. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Couple of minutes. What I'd like you to do is just think about last week. Think about some of the highs and lows of last week. Some of the things that were great about last week, some of the good moments, and then some of the harder moments, some of the bits of life that you didn't enjoy, you endured, or they were hard because of sadness or pain or illness or a dysfunctional relationship or hurried moments that you missed with your kids or with your friends, whatever it is. So think about some of the good bits of last week and think about some of the hard bits of last week. Highs and lows, good bits, bad bits. What I'd love you to do, as open and vulnerable as you feel, just talk to the person next year or opposite year and just talk about last week. Give them probably two or three of your highs and two or three of your lows. Go for it. Okay, so come back to me. Hopefully you'll get a chance to continue that conversation on, I promise. So if you think about those moments, the highs and the lows of last week, how many of them did you feel or know that God was present with you? How many times did you think, this is a God moment where God wants to work in me to be more like Jesus? Or this is a God moment where the Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody else, drawing them closer to Jesus? Or this is an opportunity for me to love, to partner with Jesus, and not try and fix it myself in my own strength, but to do it. And how many times in those ups and downs did you miss God? Did you do it yourself? When you look back, you think, oh, that was a moment when, or I could have, and perhaps God was, da da da. Because when Jesus comes onto the stage of human history, in the first bit of the Bible, where in Mark 1, he says, I'm here, the kingdom is close enough to touch. You can reach out and touch the kingdom. There's a moment, the time is now. So he said, there's a moment, and he uses the word Kairos, not Chronos. So Chronos is tick, 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 like your watch. So Jesus doesn't come onto the stage of history and say, it's Tuesday morning, or it's Wednesday afternoon, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. What he says is there's a moment. There's a big moment, and the kingdom is close enough to touch. And in our week, if you think back last week, there are lots of moments, not just a Tuesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, Chronos week, but there are kingdom moments. And the reality is this, God is at work. That's not the problem. The problem is whether we miss him or not. It's not, oh, I wish God was at work in my life. He is at work. Now, the reality is you can hear that and think, oh, I've missed it. But if you read the Bible, if we had the time to read the Bible together, all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would be in good company missing God at work. So if you think of the disciples pushing the children away to keep them away from Jesus, or you think of one of the disciples cutting the ear off a soldier, or you think of the disciples going, well, we've got no food. How on earth are we going to feed these thousands of people? Or the disciples pushing away a woman who's bled for 12 years because they want to get somewhere else to help another person. Most of the gospel is the disciples missing God at work. So we're in good company. And so as we think about today, the road to Emmaus is another example. So if we look at our Bibles in Luke 24, I'm not going to read all of it, I'm just going to read little parts of it. It says, now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So that's Luke 24, verse 13. So it's the same day. It's Resurrection Day. They've had the women come to them as disciples and say, we've gone to the tomb. He's risen. He's not there. But these disciples, for whatever reason, haven't believed the women. So it says that they are around 7 miles from Jerusalem. So I don't know how fast you walk. My wife continually tells me that I walk too fast, I have long legs, I walk too fast. She's like, would you please slow down? I'm like, this is just normal. These are my legs. So roughly, an average human being, where it says 7 miles, that would be about 2.5 to 3 hours walking. So they are about 3 hours away from Jerusalem. So they've listened to the women who've said, we've gone to the grave. The tombstone is moved away. Jesus isn't there. They haven't believed, and they're probably 3-ish hours away, walking in the other direction from that amazing moment. And this other person comes onto the scene and starts to talk to them. But if you imagine these two disciples, you think about the roller coaster that they've been on, the ups and downs that they've lived through in the last 3 years. They've seen incredible miracles. They've seen things that science can't explain, their brains don't understand, the religious leaders don't like, the crowds love. They've seen these amazing highs. But the person, their friend, the person that they thought was going to change everything, has died. It's like the master plan, plan A, has failed. And so they are dusty, disappointed, frustrated, unsure. And if you look up there, I just want to ask you some questions. Have you been there? I know I have. On the road to Emmaus, unanswered prayer. I prayed for this and it didn't happen. I prayed for this. I prayed for one of my friend's wives for 3 years to get well from cancer, and she passed away. Living with that pain. Not sure what God is doing. Why on earth are you letting that happen, God? Can you not just fix it? Can you not just work it out with my son or my work colleague or my sin or my spouse, whatever it is? It's just not working. Life hasn't turned out how you thought it would. You're not living plan A, and it's all together. That's the road to Emmaus. And I don't know about you, but that's my life. And the problem with our church, not this church, I'm sure you guys are perfect and amazing, but every other church, the problem with every other church problem with most Christians is we feel like we have to be perfect. And that's Jesus' job. The time you get to be perfect, you do get to be perfect one day. Newsflash. Do you know when that day is? When you're dead. It's just a little bit too late for earth. Because you get made perfect. You will be perfect one day in heaven. Until that day, you are living your best imperfect life right here, right now. And so I would encourage you as Christians, as a church, live your best Emmaus Road imperfect life together. You don't have to give edited highlights of, oh, my life is absolutely horrible, but Jesus is on the throne and he's always good. Or oh, I'm really, really feeling internally sad, but I've just got to put a brave face on. These disciples were talking about their pain, their discomfort, their doubt. It says that their faces were downcast, which is a wonderful British translation that doesn't really do it justice. And probably they were a little bit more than downcast when their savior, their friend, had been brutally murdered by the regime 3 days before. And they'd given everything. They'd like put the ball on red, rolled the roulette wheel, and come up empty. Like everything's gone. So they're probably a little bit more than downcast, I would imagine. And so what I want to do is think about, what does this mean for us a week after Easter? What does this mean for us tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? So this happens on Resurrection Day. So Jesus is resurrected over here, and they are walking in the different direction, and Jesus comes and meets them. So he meets them on the road. So if we go to the next slide. So verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. So the first thing I would say, if we think about our Emmaus Road life, is that Jesus walks alongside you. You don't face Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday alone. You don't have to do it in your own strength. The good bits, the bad bits, the highs and the lows, like my daughter Esther, the wonderful bits where you feel God's presence and there's a wonderful glow and a wonderful sense of yes, and the really dark, tough, hard, grubby, painful bits. Jesus is in every single part. Every single moment. He's with you. And I want to do a little bit of maths. Who hates maths? Yes. Who loves maths? Anyone? Yes. Here we go. So I have three teenage children, 19, 17, 15. I have two boys, 19 and 15, who hate maths. I have a boy who is just about to do his Nat 5 maths in about 2 weeks' time, and he is not looking forward to that moment. I've got a daughter, 17, who loves maths. Like, she loves maths. She's going to go and study maths at university. She's committing to another 4 years of studying maths. So I've got my 15-year-old, hates it. 17-year-old, loves it. What I want to do is just a little bit of maths, and I've written it down so that we do it. So if you are awake for 16 hours a day. Okay, so that means you get 8 hours of sleep. So I don't, parenting teenagers, get 8 hours of sleep. But for, and young children, no, I was going to say, the young parents are like, I'd have about 8 minutes of sleep, probably, I'd be happy with. So just bear with me. If you are awake for 16 hours a day, 16 hours is 960 minutes a day. And that is 6,720 minutes a week. 6,720 minutes a week. That's your life if you sleep for 8 hours a day. Yeah? The 90 minutes that you're here on a Sunday morning accounts for 1.34% of those 6,720 minutes. So we're together as church 1.34% of your week. So my first question of your everyday life is, what are you going to do with the other 98.6%? We spend a lot of energy thinking about the 1.34%. How intentional are you in the 98.6% of your life? It is wonderful to be here. It is good to be here. We should not give up meeting together. We're edified, we're encouraged, we hear God's word, we worship, we hear stories, we're family. It's really important. It's a pretty important 1.34% of your life. But God wants to use the 98.6% just as much. So the first thing, I'm going to leave you with a couple of questions today. The first thing is, what are you going to do with the 98.6% of your life? How accidental are you versus intentional? How much are you looking back going, God was at work in the 98 point something percent, but I missed him? Versus how can I look ahead and think, where is God going to be at work this week in the 98.6%? Looking for those kingdom moments, a word, an encouragement, a chance to serve, a chance to share something. So what are you going to do? One example of this, as Hannah said, I get the privilege of working with lots of different churches. So there's a church in Australia, which is a long way away, a long, long way away. And they love coffee. So I enjoyed my coffee this morning. Thank you very much. Very good coffee. They would say they are the coffee capital of the world. And so this church said, how are we going to use the 98.6%? So they said, all of us, we're going to do one chapter, one conversation and one coffee a week. One chapter. Everyone's going to read one chapter of the Bible. Sometimes they do it together in a reading sort of pattern. Other times it's just read a chapter. So one chapter of the Bible, one conversation. So they say across the week, we're going to have one conversation where we just share how we are. Be vulnerable, be encouraged, connect, pray for each other, and one coffee, because they drink a lot of coffee. So the one coffee is, I'm going to take a non-Christian out for coffee. I'm going to buy somebody a coffee, or I'm just going to pay it forward for the person behind me in the queue, and they'll come to the counter and be surprised that somebody else has bought their coffee. So the little rhythms of how do we live well in the 98.6%. One chapter, one conversation, one coffee. What does it look like for you to be intentional, not accidental, in your 98.6%? The next thing is not just your everyday life, but your everyday things. So if you look up there, if we go to the next slide, there's three verses I'm picking out there. So verse 17, 18, and 30. So in verse 17, Jesus, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? So in your Monday life, your Tuesday life, your 98.6% life, your everyday life this week, where are the conversations that you're able to be good news and bring good news? In the everyday conversations with people, what are you discussing? How are you doing? How's life? How's your family? How's your job? Start with a question. Jesus was a ninja at asking questions. He didn't really give many answers. He didn't say, and this is how you should do it. But he asked a lot of questions, because in asking a question, the other person has to come into the conversation. Rather than be told what to do, he invites them in. So what are you discussing? And they talk about, they stood there, their faces downcast, more than downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Again, Jesus says, what things? Another question. Tell me more. I'm interested. What do you mean? And then off we go. About Jesus as Nazareth. So not just the conversations, but also some of the challenges, the struggles, your struggles, other people's struggles. How do we come close into the reality of circumstances? Finding people and meeting people where they're at. And then we fast forward through, and he is end of the day, going to walk past, and they say, why don't you come and stay with us? And as he just sits down, breaks bread, gives thanks, their eyes are open. They see Jesus. They go from this stranger who's talking about and asking questions to finding Jesus, seeing Jesus. The reality is this. In your everyday, there are so many places that are challenging. And they are all places where God is at work and he can use your weakness for his power to be made perfect. In your everyday life, there are loads of great things that can be testimonies and celebrations to point to God's goodness. So whether you're pointing to God's faithfulness, whether you're pointing to God's goodness, God is at work. And in that everyday eating, talking, dialoguing, how can you allow God to be present? Again, some of the examples for me over the years, we live in Portobello, and two of the things that we've done in Portobello, one is a community clear up, because there's loads of tourists who leave rubbish, loads of teenagers that leave rubbish, and everyone in Porty has a dog who leaves poo. So the combination of rubbish and poo is bad news to Portobello. It really is. But instead of going, hey, we're Christians, we're going to come in and tidy up Portobello, we are part of the Portobello Facebook group. And so there's anywhere from 5 to 50 people that come out on a Sunday and clear up Portobello together. We've run a family course in our local co-working space, which came from the lady who's not a Christian, talking around the fact that 3, 4, 5 of the couples had split up in the co-working space and they're going through divorce and struggles. And they said, I know that you travel around and do coaching and training for leaders. Do you do anything with families? And I said, and use what I call a missional white lie, because we don't do anything with families at all. But I was like, of course we do. Of course we do. I was like, yes, we can do some training for family. That'd be great. So I was like, this is an opportunity, so I'm going to lead with a yes. And so we took some of our training that we do with leaders, biblically based, and we did 4 sessions for couples around some of their identity, their partnership, their purpose, their parenting, and opened up this conversation with these young families. We did bingo and cake in Pitsmore, because the community had spent their money on other things that were mostly illegal, and into the space they wanted to play bingo, but they couldn't afford the bingo because they'd spent the money in other places. So we basically did bingo and cake in a front room of drug dealers and prostitutes and had an amazing time. Now, I didn't come with a plan of going, my missional strategy is bingo and cake. This is good news, bingo and cake. But you respond to what is happening in real life. So as you think about your everyday life, what is good news to the people that you share work with, your on your street, around your table, your friendships, your kids, friends, parents, whatever it be, what is good news to them? Because you probably have to ask them, and you probably need to look rather than go with an answer. We're going to watch a little video, so you get to watch TV in church, which is pretty cool in my book. So this is a video, here we go, of a place in India. So it's 4 minutes, 4 and a bit minutes. So just strap yourselves in and look at this as good news. Let's see, here we go. See if it works. Go. Yes. Perfect.
Nearly 2 kilometers high and buffeted by monsoon storm clouds, this is possibly the wettest place on Earth. Once, 25 meters of rain fell here in a year, the world record. Living here poses an unusual problem. and it's not just keeping dry. Nearly all the rain falls during the summer monsoon. Rivers switch from gentle streams to raging torrents. They become wild and unpredictable, and almost impossible to cross. Harley and his niece Juliana are busy cultivating a cunning solution. Years ago, Harley planted this strangler fig on the river's edge, and today he's teaching Juliana how to care for it. The fig's tangled roots help to prevent the bank being washed away. He teaches Juliana to coax the roots across what is now just a stream. When they reach the other side, they'll take hold there. This is the basis of a structure that will survive any deluge. A living bridge. It's an epic project that no man can complete in one lifetime. So Harley is passing on his knowledge to Juliana. Each year, Juliana will need to tend the roots, making them stronger. If she stays and completes her bridge, it will become part of the commuter route here, a network of dozens of living bridges that connect the valleys of Meghalaya. Some of them are many centuries old. There are even double deckers. With Juliana to look after it, the future of this young bridge looks secure. Sustainable living architecture that will live and grow for generations. One of the very few examples in the world where humans have come up with a successful and natural solution. A way of working with nature to overcome the problems a wild river can cause.
Okay, I'm going to just bring you back round. So the question on the slide, what are the challenges or circumstances, connections or conversations that allow you to be good news and bring good news? So as you think about this week, as you live forward into your 98.6% Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, think about where are the challenges in the places or the people that I'm going to meet. Where are there challenges that I can be good news? Where might there be circumstances that are hard that I can be present in, or circumstances that are good that I can celebrate in? But I'm Jesus in the highs and the lows. Where are the connections, those bumping into or just a moment or being in the same place that you have a moment where your path crosses with somebody else that you can be good news and bring good news. And then what are the conversations, the questions you can ask, the places where you can dialogue with people around it. Final thing, and then we're going to pause and we're going to pray for each other. So the final piece is, as we go to the next one, go to the next slide, what's good news? So it says, as you go through in verse 31, so they've just taken communion together. He broke bread, blessed it, gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And just as they recognized him, he disappeared. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked on the road? So what will happen is likely not you're going to have a conversation with somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And in their brain, they're going to go, oh, I now absolutely understand through the information that you've given me that I should reorientate my whole life because I understand what you've said to me. Probably that might happen. But probably what will happen is they will have a moment when their eyes open, where they see something afresh and anew, or there'll be a burning in them, a sense of attraction to something different, or a sort of yearning for something different, or a drawing closer to something different. That was my experience. If you think about your own testimony, it probably wasn't that you sat down and passed the Jesus exam and mentally then said, right, now I believe it in my head, therefore. Probably it was an eye-opening or a heart-burning moment. So what we're looking for this week is to pray that God would open eyes and stir something in people's hearts. That's what you're praying for. You're not trying to argue people into the kingdom or convince people into the kingdom or lecture people into the kingdom. You're trying to be good news, and you're praying that the Holy Spirit would open eyes and would burn hearts, bring a yearning or something of a, oh. And what's amazing for the disciples, and we heard it in wonderfully expressed in the new community that started, is that when they met Jesus, this is what they did. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those that with them assembled, saying, it is true. So as they met Jesus, they got up, they left, and they went to tell people. So this week, how do you get up? How do you activate and live in your own life? And you tell people about Jesus with your word and your deed. You can love people into the kingdom as much as you can explain people into the kingdom. Both are important. So as we think about what does this mean for us this week, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would open eyes, pray that the Holy Spirit would work in hearts, and we need to get up and tell people. And the final piece I want to give you is just one more scripture. That there's a little bit of the scripture up on the screen, and I'm going to read a lot of it. So we're going to finish here and then we're going to talk to each other. So this is from Romans 12. So this is Paul writing, and this is what it says. There's a little bit there. So here's what I want you to do. And so I'm going to echo Paul's words as an encouragement for what are you going to do on Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. In this way, we're not like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people, and we're a little part of that. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of the body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioned parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everything. Our scripture tells us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. That's your everyday 98.6% life. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The Emmaus Road tells us this. When we're dusty, discouraged, in our everyday, Jesus is walking with us. He's revealing himself to us that actually we can go and do the same and reveal him to others. So there's four questions. And what I'd like you to do is to be really honest with the person that you've been talking to, and I'd love you to pray for each other. So sometimes when we do this, again, other churches, not you guys are great. Sometimes people just talk and they don't pray. I mean, I know. Who knew? Who knew? What I'd love you to do is to talk and say, which of these questions is the one that gives that burning in your heart and open eyes? Which is the one that you go, that's the one that I need to think about this week? That's the one that I need to live into this week? That's the one that I need Jesus to come into my life, and then I want to be able to be good news and bring good news to others? So is it, where's your everyday and what's your everyday thing? So is it just, how do I live well as good news this week? Who's walking with you? Those disciples were walking together, and who are you walking with? Who are you journeying alongside? So it might be that you just need to think about who this week. How are you sharing Jesus? It may be that actually you know where you're living, you know who you're journeying with, and actually you just need to say, how do I, in the power of the Holy Spirit, share good news this week? Or it may be that you need to think more about what is good news. Not just here's my Bible explanation, but actually what is good news to these people? So what I'd love you to do, and we're going to finish in a couple of minutes, so it's not long. What I'd love you to do is just turn to the person next to you, tell them which is the question that you're going to think through and act on this week, and then I'd love you to pray for each other, okay? So, go for it. Turn to the person next to you, which is your question, and then take a little time to pray for each other. So I'm going to pray for us to finish. So in the words of Paul, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in their everyday life, their everyday things, their Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Lord, I pray that they would know you at work. You would open their eyes and have their hearts burning, Holy Spirit, for what you are doing, where you're at work and who you're working in. Open their eyes to see you at work, and help them to journey with others, to be good news and bring good news in the highs and the lows of life. So work in them and work through them, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.